Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
After water, concrete is the most widely used substance on the planet. And here to talk to us about the surprisingly fascinating history and complex future of this material that quite literally serves as the foundation to our modern world is physicist Dr. Shane Bergen from the UCD School of Education. Now, when you think of concrete, you mightn't think it's that interesting, Shane, but it is fascinating.
You know what? I think that if something were to happen, if every human on the planet were suddenly removed and aliens were to come and think, what are these guys about? It would be the concrete society they would see. It wouldn't be silicon chips or anything like metal like that. It would be the fact that our built environment is made out of concrete and there is so much of it. As you said, after water, it's the second most widely used substance on Earth, and it is such a simple thing.
And it's sand, gravel and water. I mean, it doesn't sound that wondrous, but you say it is.
We have to add one more magic ingredient, that is cement, right? And so that is the thing. We've turned that into a verb. It's cement. Cements those other things together. So when you take cement, which is limestone and clay, so things you dig up from the ground and you burn them at very hot temperatures, you're able to make cement. And when you mix that with water, it causes a chemical reaction. And that within it forms these really strong bonds. So it turns into a very hard material. And if you mix that with gravel or sand, which is basically bulking it up, you're able to turn this into an incredibly strong material that is very durable. It'll last. Like, so we still have concrete from the Roman times. It's fire retardant. So it is an ideal building material. I mean, think of the raw ingredients for it. You can just go dig them up. There probably isn't a country in the world that couldn't make concrete. Isn't that remarkable?
You mentioned the Romans, and clearly they show us and they demonstrate that concrete lasts the test of time. Did they have the best recipe for concrete?
And we're still figuring it out. Imagine 2,000 years later, we're still trying to figure out what the Romans did. So when we ask, what did they ever do for us, concrete is certainly one of those things. What they did was they mixed a version of cement with sand, gravel and water. And they used volcanic ash instead, right? So they would have, of course, had volcanoes in Roman Italy that they were able to use the clay from there. And they used seawater. And we've known there was a slightly different chemistry involved there, but we've also recently figured that they mixed their concrete in a different way to the way we mix concrete. So it's not just the raw ingredients, it's how you put them together. So it's like baking a cake. If you put the eggs in first, you mightn't get the same sort of cake mm-hmm. out at the end. And that's exactly the same when it comes to making concrete. So people that visit ancient Roman sites would see aqueducts. If you go to Rome, you'd see the Colosseum. You would see the Pantheon, that beautiful building in the heart of Rome that still has a dome in the centre of it that's entirely made out of concrete. And that concrete's not reinforced. And nowadays when we build with concrete, we add steel to it to make it even stronger. And that's allowed us to build skyscrapers and the likes. But the Romans didn't use steel because they didn't have it. But they still were able to make concrete structures. Because concrete flows when you mix it at the start, you can ask it to make any shape you want, which is another really important aspect of this fantastic material.
Which you said earlier when you were talking about, you know, how it comes together, you spoke about the burning of the clay and the limestone. So we've talked about the benefits, but the benefits can sometimes mask the huge environmental impact of concrete.
I know. Yeah, here's another one, right, to add to the list. But it is something we have to think about. If the cement industry were a country, it would be the third largest carbon dioxide emitter in the world, right? The industry accounts for 8% of global CO2 emissions because of this burning that has to take place to create cement. So you have to take limestone and clay, you have to heat it to an incredible 1400 degrees. It's like firing something in a kiln. And the emissions are really substantial because of the amount of concrete that we use. A 2022 report showed that in Ireland, Dublin Airport is the number one single emitter of carbon dioxide in Ireland. We don't hear that much, right? But numbers 2, 3 and 5 are cement factories, right? I haven't heard much discussion really in the public sphere about it. We talk mm-hmm. about sectors as a whole, which when you add up all the individual bits, they are huge. But the cement industry is a whopper when it comes to carbon dioxide emissions. And so, you know, we have to think about Well, if we're going to build lots of things, which we need to do, homes and schools and factories, etc., how do we balance that with the fact that the material is contributing to climate change? And so, it's a tricky one.
So is that being examined then, to try and find a way to make concrete in a more sustainable way?
Yeah, so there's two options there. You can either make concrete in a more sustainable way and it's still concrete, or you can use alternatives to concrete, right? So like the first one, right? How would we make concrete in a more sustainable way? Well, you have to change the raw ingredients, right? So one solution is, instead of digging up clay from the ground, right, and heating it in a kiln, that you can use other materials, right? So you can use kind of byproducts from digging up coal, or indeed from the steel industry. And they're slightly better when it comes to carbon dioxide emissions. We're also looking at, instead of sort of burning it and using fossil fuels to burn the clay, you could perhaps heat it up with electricity that could be generated in a sustainable way. So wind turbines make electricity, which create cement, and you know that then in turn is more sustainable concrete. And an alternative is, and industries are actually looking into this, right? Because like there's so much of it. All the plastic produced over the last 60 years amounts to about 8 billion tons. And we'll make that in cement every 2 years, right? So we're accelerating our use. In a recent 2 year period, China poured more concrete than the United States did in all of the 20th century. So it's not like we're not on a road to reducing here. We're because it's really cheap and really plentiful, we're just making this stuff at a rate of knots. And as the world becomes more middle class and industrialized, we're going to be making more and more. So we really do need to pay attention to how we can do it more sustainably. And how we can find alternatives.
And going back then to the Romans, and it's one of the reasons we're looking at this, that MIT study last week, looking at the recipe and how it was different. Is there anything we can learn from the Romans when it comes to sustainability? Did they do anything that we can use now?
Yeah, they did actually. So their mixture of concrete looks like it may have been slightly more sustainable than our own. And it comes down to the way that they literally put the stuff in the pot and mixed it together. So we see seawalls, ancient Roman seawalls, that are still there 2000 years later. So we can always look to the past, but we can look to the more recent past and think, you know, we could build houses and homes out of wood. We don't do that much in Ireland. I just was thinking on the drive in, remember that ad, concrete homes are better built? That's like one of those things that just completely goes unchallenged. That's not true.
We do,
right?
We do have some wooden built homes, timber frame.
We
homes
do,
and so
yeah.
On.
And they're, when you see how they're built in other countries, you see that they can build homes much faster because they come prefabricated. So there's been research going on in that area where they're able to take wood and laminate it. So they're able to stick wood together in certain ways and build houses in a more Lego style. So these, and actually build skyscrapers like with wood. Now, they're not 80 stories tall, but they're still multi-story buildings. The first thing I thought of when I was reading about this was, how would you feel going up to the 10th floor of a wooden building? Like, I think there would be a bit of a leap of faith there for us to trust that the building was safe and the building was strong enough to hold us and all the contents in it.
And really, I think you've put your finger on the problem here, that the expectation now is that we will have very solid, safe and warm homes. That increases the demand for concrete and concrete products.
Absolutely. And so that's exactly it. And we see in Ireland in recent years the importance of building homes out of like tested and durable materials, right? So like there are a whole suite of other materials out there, most notably nanomaterials, right? We've spoken about those before. Whole new areas that we could take things like wood or natural products and we could make composites. We could reinforce them with nanomaterials so that you're able to build more sustainably and you're able to build with a kind of, you know, the building will last and also it's not going to literally cost the earth to build it.
But we are in this crisis point with our climate and those technologies aren't there yet. And at the same time as we're in this crisis, we have huge demand for schools, for hospitals, for homes.
But why are they not there yet? And this is the question, right? We saw during COVID that when push comes to shove, when we really treat things as if we're in an emergency emergency, money can and resources can be found. And I would suggest that that the money and the resources and the attitude towards making those changes is not really there yet.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you think that if money was pumped into this area, that the scientists who do this work would be able to find these solutions
absolutely.
And alternatives?
Because we see the beginnings of fantastic ideas published in research all the time. Take hempcrete, for example, right? You can make a concrete alternative using hemp. Now, of course, that comes with all of the hilarious news stories that you can imagine. But it's a fibrous natural material that is incredibly strong. And so you could build like single or double story homes from this material. It doesn't have the exact same sort of properties as concrete. It isn't quite as strong, but it's strong enough to build my house and perhaps your house. And mm-hmm. that's good enough to go some way towards addressing the issue.
Thinking about the Romans once again, though, 2,000-year-old structures. I mean, are we going to say goodbye to durability and look at homes that are built not with concrete, but with other materials that will last 30 years or 50 years? And what's that going to do for sustainability?
Well, that's a very good point, right? So we don't want to create something that you have to rebuild every 10, 20 years. But our modern world is nothing like the Romans. We put up and tear down buildings at an enormous rate. So like you look at so many places around our city at the moment, and we're kind of demolishing buildings that could be just retrofitted and changed rather than just scrapping them and starting again. We don't need buildings to last 2,000 years. We need them to last about 100 to 150, 200 years. That's long enough, because all of the other technology is going to change in the meantime if we haven't already knocked mm-hmm. it down because we want to build something new.
And of course, on these emerging technologies, we won't have that timeline. So we won't be able to judge when these materials begin being used, just how long they're going to last.
Absolutely. So the world changed when glass was able to be made at a kind of an industrial level, because now all of a sudden we could put light into buildings. So who knows what's going to come in the next 50 years that will revolutionise how we build for our world. But the one thing to stress is that the built environment on our planet is growing at an exponential rate. Now, that's a term that's used widely, but rarely sort of properly used. It genuinely is exponential. So that the mass of concrete on our planet now outweighs the mass of all living things. Right. So you think about all the trees and the people and the animals, and you add them up and think about what their total mass is. That is less than the amount of concrete stuff that we have out there. So we live in a concrete jungle. And whilst they are durable and great for us, they're not, in the long run, it's not sustainable, because we in producing it, we're emitting carbon dioxide. And then when the weather comes and it's extreme, we see that cities are unable to cope with extreme weather events because concrete doesn't allow water to seep into it. We get floods, we get flash floods. So it's not a sustainable way forward. And but the good thing is that there are scientists and engineers out there that have alternatives. It's just time we started to truly invest in them.
Shane, that's fascinating. Thank you very much for bringing that to us. Dr. Shane Bergen, back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.